Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm so thankful the Lord is here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that you're online, you that are listening. And oh, thank God for what he's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a great, wonderful privilege to know the Lord and to serve him. Amen. Yes, we're going to begin here tonight. We're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to be here. Oh, yes, if we ever needed the Lord, I know it's now. Amen. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can assemble here. Lord, that we can gather with another, even though it be at a distance, Lord. And I just pray, oh, Lord, that you'd use this time. Oh, God, you know what we need as individuals. God, you know the dire straits so many are in. God, you know the situations in this world. Oh, God, you know the individual needs too, Lord Jesus. And, oh, God, thou art willing to help us. You are here to meet our needs, Lord. Oh, God, as we cry out to you, Lord. Oh, God, there is nothing too hard for you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh, God, that you'd minister to our hearts tonight. I pray that we would be taught of thee, Lord. And, oh, God, that you'd show us the things that we need, Lord. And I pray that you take your word and use it for thy name's sake and for thy glory, Lord. Oh, God, I give this service to you, Lord. I pray that you would have your way, Lord, that you'd use this message, God, that you give me the words and the leading that I need, Lord. Oh, God, that it might go out and do the work that you have ordained it to do, Lord. Help your people, Lord. Help those that are in great pain that need you, Lord. I pray for Sister Shirley, Lord, that you would touch her body, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you'd meet her need. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you'd do a miracle, Lord. Oh, God, for we bring her to you, Lord Jesus. You know all these situations, Lord. You know, oh, God, what has gone wrong. You know, oh, God, all the calcium deposits and everything else, Lord, that's gone amok, you would say, we could say. But, oh, God, you are in charge. You know how to help us. You know how to heal us. You made us, and you know how to fix us. And I pray that you touch her tonight, Lord, that the pain go in Jesus' name, Lord, that, oh, God, she'd be able, to, oh, Lord, to listen. Oh, God, that you'd give her sleep, oh, Lord, that you'd give her rest, and that you'd give her healing. Oh, Lord, we bring it to you, Lord. And ask, oh, Lord, if she goes on in for that MRI, that you would help her. In a very amazing way, Lord, that you'd be there and do a work. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what. It is time to pray. And I'm calling this message, Men Ought Always to Pray. Amen. Amen. And I'm not talking about the kind of prayer where, you know, people get up and pray to be seen a man. No, Jesus condemned that. Absolutely. I'm not talking about praying from prayer books either. No, not that kind of thing. No vain repetition. You know, that is repetitive, just words to be heard. Hail Marys and such. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about prayer that comes from the heart. Prayer that starts in heaven and, yes, comes down to us so that we can intercede. Oh, so we can make our requests known unto God so that we can see the power of God working in amazing, wonderful ways. Prayer changes things. I believe in prayer. Oh, yes, and I've seen God answer in mighty ways. Oh, I know he's done it in my own life many, many times. I believe many of you, probably all of you, have seen God intervene in your lives. And praise the Lord. You know, there's no time like the present to believe him like never before. Amen. Amen. I think prayer adds fuel to our faith so that we can reach out and believe God and touch the hem of his garment. I believe Pastor David used to say that no prayer for a week makes 1 week. And of course, we're talking about, you know, those 7 days without prayer literally is a week, of course, but it's going to make you W-E-A-K weak if you don't pray. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. And yes, I am planning to have a prayer meeting this Friday. There's been a request for it. Some of us have, you know, talked of it and, you know, delighted in such a thought. And so, Lord willing, Sister Sharon is helping me. We're going to have a prayer meeting. Everyone who can join, anyone who cares to join, let me know. I'll send you links or a telephone number if you don't have a computer or that kind of access. You can join by phone, but I will need some kind of way to give you this info. So if you can just let me know if you would like to join. It looks like it's going to be Friday the 12th. There may not be too many of us, but it's by faith. And I do believe where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, that there he is in their midst. And I'm going to believe the Lord's going to be with us and help us. Yes, so that we can touch the Lord's hem, the hem of his garment, so to speak. Reach out in faith and see the Lord work in amazing ways. You know, we used to have prayer meetings every Saturday night here. For years we did that, and it's not really been possible these last years. I think it's kind of been missed. But anyway, we're just going to let the Lord use this. And again, if you'd like to join, please let me know. Maybe just a few of us. That's okay. You know, Sister Sharon and Sister Pauline and I have been praying on Skype. We've had some wonderful times together. I know we came down last Thursday when we were together. Well, it was Friday in Singapore, but it was Thursday here for me. But anyway, we prayed, and God was with us. And so I'm believing for all of you that like to join on Friday, we're thinking it's probably going to be 4 o'clock Central Time from what it looks like right now. So you may have to adjust depending on where you are. But anyway, that's the plan at this moment, and I will send you links if you just let me know that you'd like to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. No, men ought always to pray. Amen. And not to faint. Oh, yes. Amen. And you know, we read of the feats that were done by the saints of old. And I know Brother Samuel taught from Hebrews 11 not long ago. I can't help but think, you know, when it comes down to the end of that chapter and it begins to talk about those who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35 here in Hebrews 11 says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Oh, praise the Lord. Of course, that is talking about the second covenant that would come in to play when Jesus Christ came to this world as the Son of God and brought forth that new covenant by means of his death. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And sent back the Holy Ghost, sent back his Spirit so that he might indwell in his people. Praise the Lord. But you know, those feats that were done through the saints of old, it was because they knew how to pray, I believe. I don't think you're ever going to bring down a kingdom if you don't know how to pray. But praise the Lord. You know, we're not talking about memorizing words or trying to be wordy or, you know, just learning how to do it. No, it comes from the heart. It's the Lord praying through us and helping us to know how to pray. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, and it can be very simple. I've heard some very simple, effective prayers that the Lord has heard and answered. Amen. Yes, we're not talking about being eloquent or wordy or, you know, memorizing some big, you know, thing out of a prayer book. No, we're talking about praying from the heart in simplicity, with all our heart, with all our being, to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's begin by just reading a little here from Luke, the 18th chapter. Praise the Lord. This is where I get my text here tonight. It's Luke 18, verse 1. And it tells us in verse 1 here, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Well, I'll tell you what, when the pressure is on and you're in a big trouble and there's a big conflict in front of you, it can rather be easy to faint, to give up, to run away, to cave in to pressure. But I'll tell you what, like I said, you know, I believe prayer gives us the fuel behind our faith so that we can go forth and do the feats that God would have us to do. I believe prayer is that power that helps us not to faint in the day of adversity. You know, it says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And oh my, how we need strength. But how do we get strength? Is it not by waiting on God? Is it not by calling out to the mighty God and holding on to his strength, his power, the faith that he enables us because we pray and he enables us? Amen. We know that he's the vine and we're the branches. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And that is so true. You know, here in Isaiah 40, it tells us, starting with verse 28, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." Have you ever been there? I've been there at times when I had absolutely no strength of my own and began to call upon the Lord. And I'll tell you what, oh, what an experience. What an experience, because, oh, I know there is one that gave me strength. There is one that enabled me, oh, yes, and healed my body. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes. When we are weak, he is strong. And praise the Lord, he knows how to give us power when we're faint. Oh, yes, so we can bear up, so we can stand the test, so that we can go forward and not faint. Amen. And yes, at such a moment when we have no might, oh, I know there is a God in heaven who can increase strength. Oh, yes. Give us a strength at such a moment that we would not have had in ourselves. It would have been impossible. That's our wonderful God. Amen. Oh, that's the creator of the universe, the one who fainteth not, neither is weary, the one in whom there is no searching of his understanding. Amen. Verse 30 tells us, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But praise the Lord," verse 31, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. I believe that 31st verse is talking about God's people going forward, waiting upon the Lord and receiving from our amazing God a strength. Oh, yes, a great strength. Oh, even a strength that we could mount up with wings as eagles to soar ahead, to do feats that we could not do of ourselves. Amen. Ability to run and not be weary. Oh, to walk this road, this life road that, you know, we all have to go through. And not be weary, to keep going. Oh, yes, to have enough strength to carry on, to walk and not faint. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to give us that kind of strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, that little three-word verse that says, pray without ceasing. Oh, my. And you know, that should be our way of life. You know, I know there's times when we pray in particular, and it's wonderful when we could join together and pray together. Amen? But our whole life should be a walk of faith, a way of living, that communion with God, so that, you know, our very breath is involved with our walk with the Lord, our talk with the Lord, prayer without ceasing, amen, without a stop. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that's what we would all desire. I believe, yes, that we would have that kind of relationship with the Lord and that ability, oh, yes, to be in that way that we would always be there with a prayer in our hearts. And ready to bring it out on our lips. Amen. Instant, in season, and out of season. Amen. You never know when you're going to need to pray. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful. We've got a God that hears us regardless of where we are or what we're doing or, you know, what the situation is. Whether it's day, whether it's night. Amen. He knows how to hear us. He will hear us. From his holy hill of heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's go to Acts, the 12th chapter. I know I've taken you here before, and I'm sure this is familiar to almost everybody, but you know, maybe we'll see something different here tonight. Perhaps all I know is I need God's word over and over again. So let's just look here. Amen. Acts chapter 12. Amen. Praise our God. It tells us, now about that time, verse 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Oh my, you know, this is early in the history of the early church. And boy, it sure didn't take the devil long to start using his cohorts to go forth and persecute the church of the living God. And verse 2 tells us, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Oh my, here's the first martyr here. James, the brother of John, with a sword. And then, in verse 3, and because he, Herod, saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, it tells us. And so, yes, he had offed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and now he had taken Peter. And, you know, he's just, oh boy, he's the puppet of the devil. And you know, he's also, you know, encouraged because the Jews thought that was pretty amazing, I guess, you know, sad. But, you know, they wanted to stop the church. And yes, they would do anything to stop it. So, oh my, this was, you know, like, wow, you know, there's James. And now we take Peter. And, oh my, I suppose they intended to get rid of all of them, all of the apostles. But God, oh, was in charge. And, oh, our mighty God knows how to intervene. Oh, we serve a mighty God, and there is certainly nothing too hard for him. Yes, it tells us in verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So Herod had arrested Peter. He put him in prison and he delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers. And with the thought that, you know, he was going to bring him out after Ishtar, after Easter, the heathen celebration that Herod kept. So, yes, that was the intention. And, you know, it's quite a guard, you know. 4 quaternions indicates that, well, there were 4 different changes of the guards during the night. And with each quaternium, there were 4. So 2 were there with Peter, the prisoner, and 2 were outside the door there and making sure that there was no escape. So they thought, anyway. Well, praise the Lord. But, yes, there was something going on. There were some believers that knew how to pray. Amen. It tells us in verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Well, praise the Lord. The church had gathered together. And what were they doing? They were pouring out their hearts to the living God. It says without ceasing. Oh, they were not stopping. You know, it was an ongoing prayer meeting because there was a great need. They didn't know how God would answer, but they knew they were in great straits. They were in great jeopardy. And oh my, how it is, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But oh my, this was quite the hour. And so it was. Peter was in prison. But the church of the living God was praying without ceasing on his behalf. Amen. And so it tells us in verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So here it is. Here's Peter, and oh my, it's right before Herod's going to bring him forth. And you know, this is typical quite often. It seems like God often waits, you know, for the last moment, it almost seems at times, you know, and here it was down to the wire. You know, Herod was going to bring him forth the next day and probably would have executed him. But oh, there was a God in heaven. And while Peter was sleeping, oh, 2 soldiers between him and, you know, he was bound with those chains and then the keepers were before the door keeping guard on him. But oh my, you know, there's nothing too hard for our God. You know, sometimes we might wonder, you know, we live in a world where, you know, surveillance is all over the place. You know, we know they can listen in on this and that, you know, our gadgets and, you know, our internet and our telephone and, oh, they have all these devices. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God. And he knows how to do the things that might even seem impossible. Oh my, he knows how to make us invisible. He knows how to hide us. You know, he had Elijah, you know, go hide by the brook Cherith there when, you know, Ahab and Jezebel were running after him. And, you know, and that's quite a story because, you know, Jezebel had sent her guys out to every known country. And, you know, they all had to swear there in the other countries that that Elijah was not there, that they did not know where he was. She looked with all her might to try to find Elijah, but God had hid him. You know, God knows how to hide us too. Amen. Oh yes, the water there at the brook Cherith dried up after a while, but God had the next plan. You know, he had, you know, a widow that was going to sustain Elijah there. Oh, praise the Lord, a widow of Zarephath. You know, praise our God. He knows how to do it. Amen. So here it is. Verse 7 tells us, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Oh, praise the Lord. The angel of the Lord came upon Peter. Oh, there was suddenly in that dark, dingy dungeon that Peter was in, there was a light. Oh, yes, God's light. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, once, you know, that angel hit Peter on the side to wake him up. You're sleeping. And raised him up. Maybe took him by the arms and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And just, oh, yes, as that was being said, those chains fell off Peter's hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, my, our God can do all things. Amen. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And we could just see it. Oh, my, you know, Peter's abruptly awakened, but oh, my, he thinks he's just, you know, in a dream. He's seen a vision or something, you know, and all at once, you know, here he is. He's doing these things, and, you know, he still thinks he's in a vision, actually. But he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And oh, everything that happens is so miraculous. This is our God. He's not restricted. He's not restrained. There's nothing too hard for him. Iron gates don't keep him back. Oh my, there's nothing too hard. Chains, you know, are not a hindrance to our God. It says in verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. Oh, praise the Lord. Can you just see all of this? Here's Peter. He's in the innermost part of the prison, it sounds to me. And they go through the first ward. They go through the second ward. Oh, the iron gate on the outside just opens up. Oh, my, and then down one street. And, you know, Peter just thinks it's a vision. But all at once, that angel left. That angel departed from him. And all at once, Peter realized, hey, this is not a dream. I'm not imagining this. Oh, this is really happening. Praise the Lord. This is a reality. Verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my. There they were, house of Mary, the mother of John. Sometimes we call him John Mark. We believe he was the writer of the gospel of the book of Mark. Yes, amen. And there they were. Many had gathered there. They were praying. They were going to believe God. They didn't know what to expect, you know. But praise the Lord, we serve an amazing God, a God of wonders. And oh, praise the Lord, here's Peter, who's been miraculously, gloriously delivered from Herod, delivered from that prison. Amen. And here's Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and he's knocking at the door. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe this story demonstrates the power of prayer. Oh, yes, those faithful people who had gathered together to pray. Oh, yes, to talk to God. They didn't know how God would do it. In fact, they're shocked when it happened. But praise the Lord, Sister Shirley, we serve an amazing God. He's never too late. He knows how to answer, you know, and we might not even quite expect it. But praise our God. He's a wonderful, amazing God who knows how to help us. Always that present need, or that present answer in the time of need. Oh, yes, that present help in the time of need. Amen. Praise the Lord. And who's to know what things he may yet do? You know, as I was thinking of this portion of scripture, as I was studying this afternoon, I recalled an all-night prayer meeting that I participated in. I believe I was possibly a junior in high school, and we had been to camp, and of course, camp meetings used to be pretty wonderful many times, and the Lord had moved, and we had all been inspired, and you know, we wanted all to be closer to the Lord and to see the Lord work in mighty ways. And there were a few of us that decided we were going to spend that night after the last camp meeting in prayer. We were staying on campus there. We had our dorms and we were together in that sense. And so there were several of us that stayed there in the tabernacle and prayed for many hours during that night. And you know, I remember it was early in the morning, and my pastor, Brother Davis, came and encouraged us and said, you know, he was so thankful for what we were doing. We were going to enter into a time of revival services back in my hometown, Eau Claire, and you know, he just felt like, you know, the Lord was going to really honor our efforts there praying that night. And you know what? Praise the Lord. Yes, we had those revival services back home. They began shortly after that camp meeting was over. And I'll tell you what, the Lord moved mightily. Oh, yes, it went on for 5 or 6 weeks. Many people came to the Lord. Many people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was a woman evangelist, and she laid her hands on the people. And many of them received the Holy Ghost baptism, speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. In fact, my best friend, Sherry, and her sister, Trula, came with us that one night. And they were dear, you know, friends and believers in the Lord Jesus, but they had like a Baptist background. And you know, my sister Sharon and I had been witnessing to them, and we'd had some wonderful occasions Sherry was my age, and Tula was my sister Sharon's age, and well, there's only a year and a half between myself and my sister, so we were all very close. And we'd had all these occasions talking about the Lord, and you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was kind of new to Sherry and Tula, but you know what? They came that night, and the evangelist, I believe her name was Sister Witt, she had them come up front, and praise the Lord, she laid her hands on these two dear girls, and praise the Lord filled them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. But you see what happens when people are willing to pray. Amen. Oh, my. We spent a night talking to the Lord, myself and a few others, and how God honored it. Oh, yes, he honored those prayers in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh, yes, and that great need to pray and not faint. Oh, yes, to be consistent, to pray even without ceasing, to have that spirit of prayer upon us. Oh, praise the Lord. And if we needed to pray back then, if the church needed to pray back in their day, I think we better pray at such a time as this. When we are seeing all these things coming to pass upon the face of the earth, oh my, oh yes, I think we better pray. I think we better talk to the Lord. I mean, I think we better be serious about these times that we're living in right now. Amen. Amen. And there is a need for consistent, faithful prayer. Amen. I'd like to turn now to James, the 5th chapter. And, you know, we've been here many times. This is familiar scripture, but, you know I need to hear it over and over again. And I trust that you will, too, be willing to listen to this here as we talk about prayer, that need for consistent and faithful prayer. Amen. Let's just read here, starting with verse 13 here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we have a guide here. We have instructions. Yes, we have a guide that we can follow through with. Amen. And then verse 16 tells us, confess your faults one to another. And, you know, I'm just going to note, you know, it doesn't say confess your sins. It says faults, and there is a difference. It says, confess your faults one to another, and it says, pray one for another, that you may be healed. And this is interesting. I do recall that Job there, at the very end of that book of Job, right before God delivered him, the Lord God Almighty told him that he needed to pray for his friends, those three that had come to supposedly comfort him and ended up accusing him. But you know, God lifted that bondage that was on Job when he prayed for his friends. It lifted. Look at the last chapter in the book of Job, and you will see this. God lifted that captivity that was on Job when he prayed for his friends, and everything changed. He was healed. Amen. And the blessings began to follow. Amen. So here we're told, here in James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. Amen. Much to consider right there. And then it tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, I think every word here is important here. The effectual, fervent prayer. Oh, yes, a prayer that is effective. A prayer that is fervent. I'm talking about praying with all your heart. Fervent means that it's red hot, that it's glowing, that it's ardent. It's showing great emotion and zeal. You know, you're not just saying words to say words, but it's talking about praying fervently with all your being, with all your heart. Amen. And then it says, of a righteous man. Oh, yes. You know, I think we better confess our sins to God. Amen. And get that over with. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it says of a righteous man. And I know there are times that God has had mercy. He's used healings even to bring people to himself. You know, it's quite amazing. But I know, you know, we best get our hearts right with God if there is something in discord with God. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that is something to consider here, to be right with God. Amen. And then it says, that kind of prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. That means that it accomplishes much. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then it tells us about Elijah here. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Amen. Oh, what a wonder. You know, but Elijah was just as human as we are. But he believed in prayer. And he prayed earnestly. Oh my, yes, putting all, you know, his intent into that prayer. You know, it was earnest. It was sincere. It was effective in that way. And God honored it. First he had prayed that it would not rain. Oh yes, and so it did not rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then, oh yes, when the hearts of the children of Israel were turned again to God, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And you know, there's a lot to think of there. That 18th chapter of 1 Kings, there's Elijah on top of Mount Carmel. And yes, it was time, oh yes, for rain again to fall. The hearts had been turned again to God. The confusion that Ahab and Jezebel had caused because of their leadership and their idolatry, oh my, was now brought, out into the open and exposed. And the people again realized who God was. And also Elijah had done away with those prophets of Baal, those that sit at the table with that wicked old Jezebel. So now it was time for God. Again, he knew that God would again bring forth rain. And so it was. There he is, Elijah, a man with like passions such as we have, such as we know. Amen. There he is, Mount Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth, his face between his knees, and he began to pray. Oh, he began to pray. Oh, he prayed once. And I don't know how long or short that prayer was. Maybe it was 5 minutes. Maybe it was an hour. I don't know. But he prayed earnestly. And then he sent his servant to go look Is there a cloud? Is there any sign that it's going to rain? No sign. Nothing. Well, I prayed, but it didn't happen. But you know what? He prayed again. He prayed the second time. Still no evidence. The third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, and finally the seventh time after he sent his servant out to see, you know, if there were any clouds in the sky. Finally, that little cloud rising out of the sea, oh, the size of a man's hand. Oh, praise the Lord, Elijah knew that was it. That was all he needed. That was the evidence. It was going to rain. Oh, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Ahab, you better get up and run. Oh, yes, it's going to rain. And before you know it, oh, God hearing that prayer. God answering that prayer. Oh, yes. The sky darkened. Oh, yes. Those clouds all gathered. That one little cloud all suddenly grew into a mass of big, black, heavy clouds. And it began to pour. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he was able to outrun Ahab's chariot. Oh, praise the Lord. You never know what's going to happen when you pray and faint not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. There is none like him. Amen. And we know, yes, that need to be consistent. Oh, we see that example with the life of Daniel. And that is such a story. You know, there it was, this man who prayed three times every day. And oh, yes, he had found favor with the king there with Darius the Mede, who had come into the place of kingship after the Chaldeans were defeated. And in a way, there he is. Oh, Daniel had found favor with him. But the others were obviously jealous, very upset. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, all of them obviously got together to figure out how they could eliminate Daniel. And you don't know, you know, you don't know. You know, God's people are often despised. Oh, yes, there are powers that be that, you know, are trying to overwhelm and take charge. Beast system that, you know, is trying to impact this world and bring forth the kingdom of men, a kingdom that is dominated by the devil. Amen. That's what they're trying to do. And who's to know, oh my, what they may attempt to do. Already there are serious things that they are doing. But so it was with Daniel. He had an excellent spirit in him. The king had thought to set him over the whole realm, over the whole kingdom. The others wanted to get rid of him. But they couldn't find anything wrong with this man. He was faithful. There was no error or fault in him. And so they got together. They conspired. What can we do? All they could think of is the only thing we could do is oppose his faith in his God. And so how it was. They went to King Darius and they flattered him. And oh yes, they got him to sign a decree. A royal statute, a firm decree that no petition could be asked of any god or man for a period of 30 days, save of the king. He was the only one that could be petitioned. And if anyone would dare go against this decree, they would be cast into a den of lions. And so, through their flattering, through their devices, their scheming, they came against Daniel And King Darius knew it not. He fell into that trap. He signed the decree, this firm decree that could not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. But praise the Lord, I love that consistent faith that Daniel had in God. He knew that the writing had been signed. But did he alter his pattern? Did he change? Did he, decide, well, it's just a month. I guess I'll just not pray like I pray otherwise. God will understand, won't he? But no, Daniel wasn't like that. He wasn't like that. If you look at the sixth chapter of Daniel, look at verse 10, you see how Daniel reacted. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, praise the Lord, he didn't alter his pattern. He did what he always did. He went to his house. The windows are open even. Oh, he's not afraid. He knows what the decree states. He knows what has been stated. He knows the jeopardy that he's in. But he did not alter his pattern. Oh, he kneeled down upon his knees like he always did. And he prayed like he always did. And he gave thanks before his God as he always had done before. And of course, these wicked conspirators who had assembled, caught him. Obviously, he wasn't trying to hide. He was doing this openly. The windows were open. They caught him praying and make supplication before his God. Of course, they went and tattled to the king. And of course, the king, Darius, was very upset with himself because he loved Daniel. And it tells us that he, Darius, labored till the going down of the sun to figure out if there was any way that Daniel could be delivered from that decree and the consequences of it, that commitment into the den of lions. But oh my, it seemed that there was no way to alter that. And so it was come the morning that Daniel was cast into that den of lions. But that king spake unto Daniel, and he said, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." You see, there was a statement of faith, a consistent faith that, wasn't, wavering. It wasn't one way one week and in a different way the next. Oh, no, he didn't falter. He was consistent, and God had seen that. Darius had observed it, too. The God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And so it was, they brought a stone and they laid it upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And so Daniel was committed to that den of lions. I'll tell you what, that king, Darius, did not sleep well that night. Oh, he spent that night fasting, it tells us. And very early in the morning, he made haste to go to that den where those lions were. And oh, he didn't know what to think. But here it is in verse 20, Darius calling out down there into the den. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" And praise the Lord, there was a response. Oh yes, God had intervened. Oh my. Oh yes, those lions were not able to take advantage of Daniel. No, no, no. God had delivered him. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 21, "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Oh, praise the Lord. What a testimony. What a story. A man who believed God, who was not afraid, who did not acquiesce to fear. Oh, yes, who stood his ground and did what was in his heart despite the order of the king, the decree, the firm decree that had been made. Oh, my. Tells us in verse 23, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that consistency in his prayer life. It spoke volumes. God was with him. God kept him. God spared him. And God, brought forth this wonderful work, this testimony to this king, King Darius. Oh, my. And it tells us, verse 24, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den." And then Darius wrote this letter. Oh, my, what a testimony. Things changed because one man was standing up for that which was right. One person can make quite a difference, an amazing difference in this world. And so it was in verse 25, Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in the earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the powers of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Oh, praise the Lord. One faithful man. Oh, yes, who kept praying despite the decree. Oh, my, despite the jeopardy that he was in. Oh, yes, he knew that God was faithful. He didn't know the outcome. He didn't know if God would spare him. But how God worked in an amazing, wonderful way. And all that confession that came forth, from Darius when he saw God's wonder, God's ability to deliver, God's faithfulness toward his faithful servant. Oh, God sees faithfulness. It speaks volumes. Oh, my, there is a reason why we gather together faithfully time and time again. You know? Oh, there's a reason for consistent prayer. Oh, my, you know, it's a good reason to begin each day with prayer. Oh, it was a custom of Daniel to pray three times every day. And praise the Lord, when trouble came, when it became very difficult for him to continue that practice, he did it anyway. He did it anyway. He kept praying. He kept his faith. He kept believing in God. And God honored it. Oh, my, God honors faithful people. Oh, yes, he sees us. He hears us. He knows our troubles before we even tell him. But oh my, how he knows how to intervene, and how he is looking for for people that will be a light, a witness in this world, that will stand up for him regardless of potential consequences. God is looking for such people, oh, that will stand in the gap and be counted and to go forth and do what they need to do, even in times of great despair, of great trouble, with potential consequences, oh, in times of persecution. Oh, God honors such. He sees that faithfulness. Amen. And how he responds. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, as I get close to concluding this message, just a few verses here to tell us how to pray. Just a little bit more. I know we have the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus told us how to pray in like manner. And, you know, he urged us very strongly, all the need to forgive if we need forgiveness from God. And of course we do. We must. Oh, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He told us the manner in which to pray. And in doing so, he also told us that we must not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. You know, there's no counting on beads. There's no Hail Marys. You know, there's no repetitive prayers that should be uttered again and again and again with, you know, just going through the motions and not through the heart. Not praying, just standing in the synagogues or in the corners of the street to be seen of men. But no, he's talking about going into even a quiet place and shutting the door and praying to God in secret. Oh, yes. And he told us the manner in which to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a template. It's telling us the manner in which we are to pray. Oh, yes, to give God the glory, his name being praised and honored and hallowed, revered, in other words. And that prayer for the kingdom of God to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, yes, the provisions that we need. Give us this day our daily bread. And, oh, my, beyond that, forgive us our debts. Oh, yes, forgive us, Lord, for all our wrongdoings, all our sins, all the unthoughtful things we did, the words that came out of our mouth that were not kind. All of those things, those debts. Oh, Lord, forgive us. And on the other hand, we must forgive our debtors. And yes, a prayer that we would not be led into temptation. But oh, yes, that God would give us the strength to overcome. Oh, that we would be delivered from evil. Praise the Lord. And we know, yes, as we pray, oh, yes, the power, the praise, the glory, the kingdom is all his. It's all because of him. Without him, we could do nothing. Oh, yes, he's the potter and we are the clay. And how it is, oh, that need that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. In Philippians, we have some more words that I feel are very helpful. We go to Philippians chapter 4 here. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Verse 6 is telling us, don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. In other words, that's how we would interpret, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be full of worry and anxiety. No, give it to the Lord Jesus. But rather, in everything, by prayer and supplication, that is, those would be humble requests that we bring before God. And then he says, with thanksgiving. Oh, praise the Lord, when we give thanksgiving. Oh, when we give thanks to our God. Oh, my, how it makes an impact. Oh, how it goes in amazing ways. Oh, yes. The Lord honoring it and working through it. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And what a beautiful thing it is that we can bring those requests before our God. Oh, he's there. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to a prophet. Oh, we all can go before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, we can all make supplication before him. We can all make our requests known unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our God hears and he answers. Oh, yes. And he's looking for people that pray and do not faint. He's looking for such. Amen. And you know, there are times that we pray and we don't know really how to pray. Oh, things get pretty complicated. They get pretty complex. And what do we know? I know such a tiny, tiny bit. And I might think something and it might be altogether wrong as far as, you know, my mental capacity goes. But praise the Lord, there is a way that God can pray through us. And praise the Lord, it talks about that in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. It talks about praying in an unknown tongue, how the Spirit praying, our understanding being unfruitful, but God praying through us. Amen, and making intercession for the things that we fully cannot understand or even know. It's so beyond us. Even at times there are people that, you know, are out there, you know, the burden of our heart bursting forth in those unknown tongues as the Spirit prays through us. Oh my, and yes, here in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Then he asks in verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I've been there many, many times. Oh, very frequently down there. Oh, maybe beside my bed or maybe even at my piano at home. You know, as the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me and, oh, my, I begin to pray. And he takes over. Oh, yes, he prays. Oh, through me, giving me an unknown tongue. Or it could even be a tongue of a man that I don't understand. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, makes intercession. I'm so thankful. Oh, I've seen amazing, amazing things happen. Oh, yes, through this intercessory prayer. Oh, yes. Thank the Lord. Sister Dawn knows, oh my, how the Lord works so mightily with her mother. Her mother, Marion, thought that she was dying. And I had the great privilege of praying with this woman. But oh my, I prayed with her initially and it didn't seem like anything was really happening. I got off the phone. I prayed again. I prayed in tongues. And this time it was night and day. Oh, my. Oh, Dawn's precious mother was so ready at that moment. Oh, my. And as I talked with her that second time, and Dawn called back and said, Mother is ready now. And oh, my, that woman poured out her heart. Oh, she poured out her heart to God. It was such an amazing spirit, such an amazing event. Oh, praise the Lord, as God intervened in her life. And you know, they said she was dying, but you know what? She didn't die. She didn't die at that time at all. Praise the Lord. God gave her strength, and oh, God made it possible that Brother Tim and I could go and see her baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, you just never know. Oh, if you let the Lord pray through you, oh, pray through you. Yeah, it's amazing, amazing things can happen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Jude 20 says, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord praying through us. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. We never know if we could just pray and not faint. Oh, yes, they had assembled together there when Peter was in great jeopardy. Oh, they didn't know how God would respond. Oh, there were great concerns. There they had gathered the Christians all together as a body of the living God praying together. And God intervened in a mighty way. Oh, wonderful things happen when we pray and do not faint. You know, there's a process of waiting on the Lord. It says in Psalm 27, verse 14, Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen the heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, yes, prayer is waiting on the Lord. It's waiting for an outcome. It may take quite a while. Waiting isn't easy. Many people give up way too soon. Many do not wait long enough to see the answer come forth. But praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus said in Luke, that 18th chapter, as he told that precious parable of that woman, oh yes, who didn't fear the judge, but went before him, bringing her petition continually until he intervened, using that as an example of how men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praise the Lord, always to pray and not to faint. In other words, we don't give up, brothers and sisters. We keep beseeching Almighty God, and he, all who hears from heaven, intervenes and answers. We don't always know how he will answer, but oh my, he is a God of miracles. He is an amazing God, and he, oh yes, is our Savior. Oh, he is the one, oh, to whom we pray. And there is nothing too hard for him. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a need. As Jesus said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Keep praying, brothers and sisters. Keep praying. Trusting the Lord. Turning it over to him. Oh, yes, our God answers by fire. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Work in us and help us, Lord. Oh, God, give us that strength to prevail, Lord, and not to give up, Lord. Give us that strength to prevail in prayer, Lord, and to overcome this old world in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our chorus books in closing and turn to number 48 and sing They That Wait Upon the Lord, number 48. They that wait upon the Lord. departed shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, on for a little while so you can enjoy the piano for a bit. And God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.